And thinking about this church's 29th anniversary, thought of 29 years of declaring God's greatness, his right and just ways, his mercy, though we are undeserving, extended to mankind. And for 29 years, this group of believers has been a witness to this community and beyond, that there is a God above us to whom we are accountable. And though we are fallen, fallible creation, in his love for us, he's made mercy available. Jesus is the provision for that mercy, forgiveness. And for 29 years, ourselves who are gathered here today and others, some who have moved up, I couldn't help but think of some of the folks who we've worshiped with and served with over the years, and what a blessing just their memory is to me. I'm not going to try to call out all their names, but you can think about them. They're waiting on the other side. Some who have moved up, some who have moved out. They're serving the Lord in other places around this country and around the state. And those who have come have heard God's word on a regular basis about coming judgment and about deliverance in Christ, and have believed on it and have sought to act it out by their faith. And as I thought about that, 29 years of this church ministry being here, and I've said before, we're not all that we ought to be. We recognize that. We miss opportunities. We're not all that we should be. Sometimes we do things we shouldn't do. Sounds like your life and my life too, doesn't it? But you know what? The people have kept showing up for 29 years, and that says something. And I thought about the Old Testament story of Noah. Noah was the 10th from Adam. You can read about the story of Noah from Genesis chapter 6 through Genesis chapter 9. And it tells a story that when people began to multiply, so did wickedness. And here's what it says in Genesis 6. It says that the Lord observed the extent of human wickedness, that everything they thought of or imagined was consistently and totally evil. Now that is a description, isn't it? You watch the evening news sometimes and just shake your head at some of the things that are going on. For God to say every thought, every action was consistently and totally evil. That was what, and it says in the same passage that the earth was filled with violence. I wouldn't want to live in that kind of situation, would you? And yet that's where Noah found himself. And God determined to bring righteous judgment upon his creation. In the midst of this, we read this in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 8. If you could bring that verse up, please, Eddie. It says this, real short. It says, but Noah found favor with the Lord. The word favor there is another word for grace. And another way to describe grace is unmerited favor. This is the first mention of grace in the record of God in the Bible. This unmerited favor that God bestowed upon Noah. And it was not the favorableness of Noah, though you'll read here that Noah was a man who loved God and who tried to honor him, stood out as different from his neighbors. But it was not the favorableness of Noah, but the favor of God that would preserve Noah and his family. And God didn't have to extend that mercy and grace. We read that Noah wholeheartedly loved God and tried to honor him. In this passage, it shows us the instruction that God gave Noah for the deliverance of his family. And I just ask if you'd bring it up, verse 14 of Genesis 6, if you've got your Bibles and you're following along. He said this, build a large boat from cypress wood and waterproof it with tar inside and out. Then construct decks and stalls throughout its interior. Make the boat 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, and 45 feet high. Leave an 18-inch opening below the roof all the way around the boat. Put the door on the side and build three decks inside the boat, lower, middle, and upper. And I took a look at this, and you could preach a whole message just on the boat, the boat that Noah built. But I'll tell you this, 450 feet long, a football field and a half, 75 feet wide, 45 feet tall, about the size, the height of our modern four-story building. Listen to some interesting facts about that. 1,518,750 cubic feet. Enough interior capacity to fill 569 railroad cars. I grew up with helping my dad. He and a partner had a commercial warehouse, and I can't tell you how many railroad cars I unloaded as a young man in the Florida heat. I will tell you this, there was a lot of stuff in those cars. An incredible amount of room. It's estimated they could hold 45,000 animals. And it's also estimated that there are about 100,000 square feet of deck space. And so God gave the instructions. By the way, the dimensions, it's a 6-to-1 ratio, and that is considered in naval architecture a very stable craft, nearly incapable of capsizing. Noah had never built a boat before. As far as we know, it was divine instruction that God gave to preserve his life, and mankind would be starting over. And here's what we read. Look at verse 22 in this same passage. It said, "So Noah did everything exactly as God commanded him." If you know the story, I'm going to briefly summarize it. Noah and his family entered the boat along with the animals. The rain fell. The scripture says the underground waters erupted from the earth. The waters rose and the ark floated safely, but all living things outside the ark died. The Bible records that God remembered Noah and the livestock with him on that boat, and the waters began to recede. 5 months after the flood began, the ark came to rest on the mountains of Ararat. That's modern-day Turkey. And there are people who are still looking for that craft today. People who have taken on a very intensive search for it. I don't know where they'll find it. Some are probably convinced they have. But in another 7 months, they would leave the ark, walk out on dry ground, and build an altar to give thanks to God. This story has long taught us some things about faith. And as I was thinking about this group of believers here for 29 years who have gathered voluntarily, nobody twisting their arms, to come and to give thanks to God, to declare his righteousness, declare how great he is, to hold forth his mercy, there are some things about Noah's faith that I want us to take a look at here today. And I'm going to try to quickly move through these. First of all, Noah's faith was grounded in God's revelation. We're going to move over to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11 is regarded as the chapter of faith in the New Testament, and speaks a lot about faith. And I'm going to actually be looking at one verse here for a good while this morning. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 7. Some things about Noah's faith. First of all, it was grounded in God's revelation. Let's take a look at verse 7 of Hebrews 11. "It was by faith that Noah built a large boat to save his family from the flood. He obeyed God, and God warned him about things that had never happened before. The basis of Noah's belief and his actions were divine communication. It was God saying, 'Noah, judgment is coming. Your family will be safe. Do this.' And God had spoken to him, and that was enough. Our faith needs to rest on God's words, not our own ideas or not our own feelings, because they are open to change. How many of you can find that you think back to last year, you had some different opinions on things than you have today? Our own feelings and opinions are all over the map. And so it's God's revelation, God's communication that we have to base our faith on. Noah's faith also informed him of some things that were yet unseen. Let me read the verse again. "He obeyed God, who warned him about things that had never happened before." There had never been any previous flood. Rain was even unknown at that time. In other words, history provided no analogy. There's nothing that he could have said, "Well, this happened in the past, so it's going to be the same this time." And so Noah labored away. We don't know how long he labored away. Some people feel like he labored for 120 years on that. There's no solid indication that that was the case. That's some people who have looked at the scripture and tried to determine. Must have been a long time because it was a big boat. We don't know how long he labored on it. But you know, it's likely that his neighbors and his relatives looked at him as some kind of crazy fanatic. Wouldn't you agree? No flood had ever happened before. What's this guy building out here? This is ridiculous. Why would he put himself and his family through all of that needless trouble? You don't think some of your neighbors say that? Some of your family members say that about you when you pack up and head off to church each Sunday morning to give God thanks? You don't think folks have that to say about those who serve the Lord willingly, who have a heart to honor God, who believe Him and take on His word? But for many then and many today, it's business as usual. Well, it seems like it's always been this way. There's never been a flood. What are you talking about, a flood, Noah? No need to concern ourselves with these claims. And so when people hear about the Lord's return or the fact that one day we will stand before our Creator, here's what they say. Looks like business as usual to me. Why would I be concerned about coming judgment, about standing before my Maker? You know, the same thing was spoken. I'm going to ask Eddie if you'd bring up 2 Peter chapter 3. I'm going to read here some verses. Chapter 3, verses 3 and 4. Peter writing says, "Most importantly, I want to remind you that in the last days, scoffers will come, mocking the truth and following their own desires. They will say, 'What happened to the promise that Jesus is coming again? From before the times of our ancestors, everything has remained the same since the world was first created. What do I have to be worried about? Business as usual.'" And no doubt they were saying that as Noah built the ark there. But what was it that would make Noah act the way he did? This long-term commitment at great personal sacrifice, in spite of ridicule and contempt and jeers, nothing but the testimony of God. God said so. I believe it, and I'm building my life on that very thing. And you can laugh all you want. You can ridicule all you want. I believe God, and I'm going with that. I was thinking about something as well. You know, the testimony says that God observed that the wickedness and the evil of mankind in his thoughts and his imagination were consistent and without end. Don't you know that as Noah looked out upon that violent landscape and shook his head at what was going on, that also caused him to say, "God, something needs to be done." And we say, when we hear of evil in our world, in our time, and we hear of wickedness that people perpetrate on others, "God, surely there must be judgment for this. Surely there's got to be an answer for this." And so it was the testimony of God. And the nature of faith is this, that it helps us to see the unseen. In this same passage here in Hebrews 11, verse 1, it says this: "Faith is the confidence that we hope for will actually happen." And listen to this. "It gives us assurance about things we cannot see." Think about this. God said, "Noah, build a boat. There's coming judgment." Noah had never seen anything like that before, but he believed God. You and I cannot see off into the distance. And by faith, we take God at his word, and we base our lives on it. Faith is what allows us and helps us to see those things that we don't see yet with our eyes, because God said so. So Noah's faith could help him see things that were yet unseen. Here's something else. Noah's faith moved him to action. Read the verse again. It says, "It was by faith that Noah built a large boat to save his family from the flood." And what it says, he obeyed God. I get the picture that Noah really believed what God was telling him, don't you think? How do you know? Because he built a boat. It's that simple. God said, "Build this boat, judgment's coming." What did he do? He went out and built a boat. So Noah built a large boat, and that is the most convincing proof that he believed God. He built a boat. Do you know, I speak to believers here this morning, our faith is shown by our actions, by how we live it out. I want to ask, Eddie, would you turn to James chapter 2? This is a passage that is often debated among Christian people. Some people would say, well, it's faith in God plus what you and I do that earns us salvation. I think the testimony is clear across the whole range of Scripture. It's not by our own works of righteousness. Go back to Genesis chapter 6. What does it say? That Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. It wasn't anything Noah did. It was God's gracious mercy reaching out to Noah. He didn't deserve it. You would know why, because a few chapters later he got drunk and had some real problems in his family. Chapter 9, verse 20, check it out. And so Noah was not a person who was perfect, but he was a person who looked to God, and God had mercy and favor on him. But I want to read these verses in James chapter 2. It speaks about faith and our actions. And there's two words I want to ask you to really pay attention to, the word show and the word shown. I'm going to look at four verses. James 2, verse 14. What good is it, dear brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith, but you don't, what? Show it by what? Your actions. Let's go now to verse 18. Verse 18. Now someone may argue, some people have faith, others have good deeds, but I say, how can you show me your faith if you don't have good deeds? I will show you my faith by my good deeds. Let's go now to verse 21 as well. It speaks about Abraham, and Abraham had faith, and God recognized that faith. But let me read this verse for you. Don't you remember that our ancestor Abraham was shown to be right with God by his actions when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see, his faith and his actions work together. His actions made his faith complete, just as the scriptures say, Abraham believed God, and God counted it as righteousness because of his faith. Let's go now to verse 25. Actually, let me read verse 24, Ed. Let me pull that. So you see, you are shown to be right with God by what you do, not by faith alone. Our faith results in actions, and it shows our faith. Verse 25, someone you wouldn't expect to show up in the scripture, a prostitute. Rahab the prostitute is another example. She was shown to be right with God by her actions when she hid those messengers and sent them away by a different road. Rahab also showed her faith by her actions. In this chapter, Hebrews 11, it's called the chapter on faith. And it lists 17 individuals and three groups of people. In every case, it pinpoints their actions showing that they had faith. Abel had faith. How did he display it? Because he offered this acceptable gift to God. Enoch had faith. How was it manifest? It was known that he pleased God. Noah had faith. How did he show it? He built an ark. Abraham had faith. What did that look like? Abraham left his own people and his own country to go to the land that God had promised them. And I could read everyone for you. Sarah, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, the people of Israel, Gideon, Barak. Can somebody help these little ones find a seat? Thank you. Appreciate that. Each of these folks that we read about says that they had faith, and it was evidenced by their actions. I want to show you something interesting that really encouraged me a number of years ago. In verse 33, it says, by faith, these people that we just read their list of names overturned kingdoms, ruled with justice, shut the mouths of lions, became strong in battle, put whole armies to flight. But if you look down in verse 35 of Hebrews 11, let's turn back there. It's an interesting word here I want to show you. Hebrews 11, 35, the last part of that verse 35. It says, but others were tortured, refusing to turn from God in order to be set free. This long list of people who had faith, and God used them to do some great things. But it says, but there were others. They were jeered. They were tortured. They were chained in prison. They were killed with the sword. In fact, it says they were destitute, oppressed, and mistreated. But I want you to see something. In verse 39, it says, all these people earned a good reputation because of their faith. It didn't always turn out the way they had hoped. Wouldn't you agree with that? I don't imagine any of that last group said, you know, sign me up for prison, Bruce, if you would. Let me be a laughingstock to everybody who knows me because of my faith. But it says this, that God knows what's going on no matter what the outcome is. And God recognizes that faith. So Noah's faith can tell us this, that faith results in some action. And then faith impacts those who are around it. I'll read this verse again, verse 7. Noah, because of his faith, built a large boat to save his family from the flood. Blessing and security came to Noah's family because of his obedience. If Noah had just disregarded this message from God to him, this revelation, his family and himself would have been in the same position under judgment like everybody else. And so when we exercise faith in our lives, it impacts those around us. I will tell you, my mom's here today. She and my father were people of faith. I'm not going to stand here and tell you they were perfect. She would tell you the same thing. But I will tell you this. The fact that she and my dad exercised faith had something to say to my brother and I. And it has something to say to our children who are now adults. And our hope and prayer is that it's going to have something to say to their children as well. Do you get the picture? Amen. Our faith impacts those around us. A faith that acts in obedience. And then not only that, that Noah's faith had something to say to the world. And let's look at verse 7 again. It's interesting. It says this, by his faith, Noah condemned the rest of the world. We don't know. But it may have been that Noah was so busy building that ark that he didn't have time to go out there and picket everybody. But he simply did what God told him to do, and he built an ark. But the very existence of that ark rebuked the world around him. Now, I want to say something to you. If you're a believer and you have set your heart to honor God, you believe his word, you recognize that the same God who promises deliverance and mercy through Jesus Christ also has stated clearly that there is a coming judgment for all mankind. We have all sinned against the holy and righteous God. And you believe God's word, and you set out to follow and in obedience to honor God, and you find that people around you aren't happy about that. In fact, they're saying and doing things to try to discourage you. Let me just speak a word of encouragement to you. Take a look at Noah. He just kept on doing what God told him to do. And his family was delivered. And I would encourage anybody here, if you're beaten back by words and by attitudes of folks, that's what made me think about this church. You don't think people have had things to say about Family Worship Center in the 29 years it's been here? You don't think people could pick on some of our faults and our foibles and our, I call them idiosyncrasies? We all got them, don't we? But you know what? Some people determined to just obey God. And so 29 years later, the gospel of God's grace is still being preached. And that's the lesson of Noah. That's what Noah's faith has to say, is keep doing what God has called you to do. And do not be dissuaded or held back by what folks have to say. I've got something I wrote down here, and I don't want to miss this. Faith is more than an act. It's also an attitude. It is a submission to God's governance of his world. You know he's the boss here, don't you? You know he's not on trial, and the people may think he is. But long after you and I leave this place, he's still going to be God. You can rest assured of that. And so when we believe God, it's not just an act, but it's an attitude that is submission to God and his governance, a yielding to his authority, and a spirit of dependence upon God. Do you know sin is the opposite of faith? It is also an act, but also an attitude. And in fact, it is spiritual anarchy. Take a look and see what sin will do in any of our lives. It is a sad story. Would you agree with me? And it's been the sad story of humanity. And What hope there is that God has provided redemption, and you and I know what God can do in a life that he redeems. Aren't you glad for that? But do you know there is a great difference between the two? The attitude of sin is self-will, self-assertion, and independence from God. When believers live out their faith, it condemns the world. It is a rebuke to the course followed by those who have no concern for God. You ever wondered why maybe at work, or maybe in your neighborhood, or maybe where you play, you're not going out of your way poking people in the eye? You're not going out there trying to be obnoxious. You're just trying to live out your faith. And some people, they're really pretty ticked about that. Anybody experience that? Run up against that? You know what Jesus said? You can find it in John 15, verse 18. He said, don't be surprised that the world would hate you, because you don't belong to that anymore. You belong to God. And don't let that hold you back. I will just say this, that Noah's faith also teaches us this, that it pays off. Look in verse 7 as well. And he received the righteousness that comes by faith, the smile of God. You know, to lay down in your bed at night, to close your eyes and drift off to sleep, and to know, not because of anything we've done, but because of his favor and his mercy and his deliverance, if the worst should happen, the best would happen. I'm in God's hands. To know that, and beyond that, the Bible says that we are co-heirs with Christ. All that's coming to Christ, those who have aligned, have trusted in him, we're in on that as well. And so there's a payoff. And it says, the passage says, eyes have not seen or ear have heard what good things God has prepared for those who love him. And so our faith must be grounded in God's revelation. Our faith can inform us of things yet unseen. Our faith can move us to action. Do you really believe what you believe? It should show up in our lives. Wouldn't you agree with that? Now, it's not going to be perfect. It's not always going to look pretty, but it ought to be real. And our faith will impact those around us. I would say this, even if you're coming to faith in just recent days and months, it's not too late. It's not too late. Your life, your faith, your obedience, your heart for God will make a difference in the lives around you. And your faith should have something to say to the world. Your faith should be saying something to the people who are going on their course of life as if God doesn't exist. And that's why sometimes they'll be troubled. So the message is this. Hear from God, even about things that you have not yet experienced. Believe him. Believe him enough to obey him. And it will make a difference to those around you. And it will speak a needed message to the world we live in. And you'll be glad you did. Amen to that? Amen. Let's stand. We're going to have a time of prayer. And Eva's going to play an invitation song for us. Noah's faith. Long been a lesson about faith. And for you and I, a reminder, even now, today, that believing God matters. Believing him enough to act on it. Even when it's costly. Even when others don't agree. Even though it is a long-term project, you'll be glad you did. And I've seen it many, many times when folks leave this world as a pastor, over 35 years of caring for God's people. Been there many, many times, and I will tell you, it makes a difference. The hope, the peace that can be had, and just knowing that God has something to say even about death. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word, and thank you, Lord, for this valuable, helpful lesson on faith. Help us to trust you more. Lord, help us to settle our belief, our actions on your revealed will, on what you've told us. And even, Lord, though we haven't seen some things yet, as Noah, help us to believe you. Lord, we got plenty of evidence all around us in this world, just the very fact that we exist on this little rock hurtling through space with its order and your blessing. Lord, help each of us today to look at our faith, to seek to live it out and honor you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.